Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Listen as I sing all about the king. You can hear him all the time on the Eagles sidelines. He looks nice in his fur coat. Nitwit, moron, and dope are his favorite quotes. He cheers the wins and he boos the losses. He interviews athletes and mob bosses. He's an all-time Philly guy, a graduate of Northeast High. You can't get enough of Howard Eskin on WIP. That's why he's got this podcast. So listen up, because he's ready to speak.
Welcome to another edition of the Howard Eskin podcast. I think this one is special. I really think this one is special because with as many people as I have spoken to, and I have interviewed, and actually, I don't even call them an interview because I like to have conversations with people that I've had conversations with. Today's is special for me, and I think it's going to be special for a lot of people. And I'll just say it's a mania because you're going to hear it in seconds. And we had this great, great, great guest on Saturday. And he's decided to support me in what I'm really working hard at doing, raising money for autism and being a part of the Eagles Autism Challenge and having people support and donate to sponsor my bike ride. Here he is, and I'll just call him the man. Well, you've heard the music, and that only means one thing. When you're proud to be an American, you're proud to listen and watch and know the legend of Hulk Hogan. And that's who's with me. It's the Hulkster. Hey, brother, what's happening?
Oh, man, I was all mellowed out, Howard Mania. Then you get to play that music. Makes me feel like I drank 20 cups of coffee, brother. I could almost slam the giant again right now.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love those days when you slam the giant. It was the best. It was the best. Hulk, we're going to talk about what you're doing and many good things that you do in the community and what I'm doing. I'm going to start with that. You have received an award, and this is really nice, from the Boys and Girls Club of America. Obviously, you're not just, it's not Hulkamania running wild in the ring. It's Hulkamania running wild and helping people. How did you get involved in that?
Well, I was I started out in the Boys Club here in Tampa, Florida. Sorry, I'm out of breath, man. I was feeding my chihuahuas, and I was all calmed down until you played the music. But anyway, no, with the Boys Clubs and stuff, I was a club kid, you know, and I started out here in Tampa. And I had some family problems at the time because I had a brother that was 6 years older than me. And I thought he walked on water, you know, but he was kind of like, he had a little edge to him and he would, you know, get in a little bit of trouble here and there. And actually, a lot of the times he was in trouble. And I kind of like looked up to him as a hero. And when I was younger, 10, 11 years old, my parents kind of like caught me, you know, worshiping and idolizing him and following his footsteps. So the best thing they did was they took me down to the Boys Club, the Intervay Boys Club in South Tampa. And I fell in love with the place. I saw the swimming pool, which I'd never been in a swimming pool before, an Olympic-sized swimming pool. I saw the kids playing softball and baseball, and they were playing music. And that's kind of like the breakaway from going down the path my brother went to doing my own thing. And that's how I first got involved with the Boys Clubs. But they work a lot with the wrestling. They work a lot with the WWE. And they've been part of the Hulk Hogan, the WWE, the wrestling family, the whole community has won for years, you know. So for them to reach out to me and say, hey, you started out with us and, you know, you were a club kid and we'd like to, you know, honor you for your accomplishments, you know, in and out of the ring. I mean, what a huge honor. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better or have something like this happen. It's such a great time in my life.
You know, it's obvious it's more than what we remember, and I remember. That was the best. I know wrestling's really big right now, but that was the best era in wrestling. But the fact you told me you would support my bike ride and sponsor my bike ride in the Eagles Autism Challenge, to do things like that are really great, and I really do appreciate that. I'm busting it to try to raise money for that. So I do appreciate that, Hulk.
Well, let me tell you something, my brother. I was working with Make-A-Wish kids for almost 25 years, you know, and I had a John Cena, you know, has broke the wall down as far as the Make-A-Wish kids. He took it to a whole nother level with the social media and all the ways everybody communicates. But back in the day, you know, when I was doing the Make-A-Wish, I was the most requested celebrity, basically Hulk Hogan was, for many years, instead of, you know, Michael Jackson or Mr. T or Mickey Mouse. They'd want to see Hulk Hogan during that Hulkamania era. And a lot of the kids had autism that I would see. Mm. And to see how sharp and brilliant, how smart these kids were. And it wasn't even a burden to the parents. The kids were, I mean, the parents were just so supportive of the children and how hard the parents worked to make sure everything was done correctly for these kids. But these kids are special kids, but they're special in a different type of way. They've got a very, very, very bright light. And if you can't see that in these kids with autism, you definitely must have your eyes closed. But working with those kids during all those years as the Make-A-Wish was one of the greatest things I ever did. And it's an honor for me to be on a team with you and help support you and the Eagles with what you're doing for these kids.
Yeah, I think when the Eagles do something, they do it full steam ahead. And this is a big event. The owner has made this a major, major priority. And I've appreciated all the people that have donated. And autism research is an amazing thing. That the fact that they've helped people in so many ways. And I appreciate your being on the team. You're on the team.
Yes, sir, brother. Oh, man, thank you so much for involving me. It's an honor, that's for sure.
All right, let's go back to your career. And I loved it. I mean, it's just Hulkamania, it was and still is the biggest thing. And it's obviously still big for you in a lot of places. What did it do for your life to be such a worldwide figure? It's just amazing. And it's special. What were the special moments and what did it do for you?
Well, I mean, I had no idea this was going to happen. I mean, when I got in the wrestling business, you know, I loved the business. I was always a fan, number one. But I just wanted to get in the business where I was good enough, where I could make a good living and you know, just be very supportive of the art form of the wrestling. And now I guess you call it sports entertainment. But the thing that was really crazy was, you know, I've always had a good heart, always been a good person. And I just was trying to find a character that would be that ultimate American, you know, positive character. And, you know, I came up with, actually Vince McMahon Sr. helped me with the name Hulk Hogan. I already had the name Hulk, but he gave me the Hogan part, you know, to represent the Irish community. And, you know, I was looking for this all American character that would be supportive of the red, white, and blue and the Purple Mountains of Majesty. And it just so happened at the time I had a full head of hair. And I was always on the beach. I was always tan. So it was kind of like the perfect storm of the blonde-haired American guy from Venice Beach, California, you know. And I hit on all eight cylinders. I had no idea the character was going to take off like it did. I had no idea that the character Hulk Hogan with the training, the prayers, the vitamins, and believe in yourself, the four commandments would become etched in stone as the words that would attract kids to the character and make the character a role model. So all the stuff started happening at once. And then with the perfect timing, when I went back to the WWE, I'd been fired many years before for doing a Rocky movie, because back then the mindset was no movies, no commercials. If you're a wrestler, you're a wrestler. But, you know, things have changed. But when I came back, it was the perfect storm, because I had already figured out how to be Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. I'd figured out how to make Hulkamania run wild and rip the shirt off and started shaking in the ring before the comeback. So when I came back this time to Madison Square Garden, I was ready as the All-American good guy. And the Iron Sheik was the real bodyguard for the Shah of Iran. And his backstory was the real deal. It wasn't like some fake character. He was really that guy. And I don't know if you remember, but at that time, they had like 444 American hostages that they'd been holding over a year. And so when Hulk Hogan, the All-American, went against the Iron Sheik, everything exploded. And the career took off and took me through this pop culture ride that I never dreamed would happen. Instead of just being a wrestler, I crossed all these media barriers from the movies, the TV. I'd go wrestle in Detroit, and Lee Iacocca and Edsel Ford would be fighting for ringside seats. Then I'd go wrestle in L.A., and Gene Hackman and Jane Fonda and John Travolta would be fighting for seats. So it's kind of like it just took off, and I wasn't ready for it. But it really has stood the test of time. And after 35 years, if you'll come with me to a mall or an airport, where I went to our friend's casino, the Hard Rock, the other night. You can't even, when you walk with this Hulk Hogan character, you can't even get to the restroom. I mean, it's impossible. And, you know, so it's been such a blessing, and thank God it's still happening, but I never dreamed the career would take off this way. I sure as heck didn't plan it that way.
Hey, listen, I go way back. I was at WrestleMania 3, which was in Atlantic City. So, I mean, I'll never forget that event.
Well, WrestleMania 3 was in the Pontiac Silverdome.
Okay, where was
the closed circuit?
I was in the convention center. It was WrestleMania, and I forget, maybe it was 3 was the wrong
one. It was
one.
Four and 5, we were at the Trump Plaza.
Okay, it was Trump Plaza. Mark Geddes put it together. May he rest in
peace.
There you go. So I was there, and it was amazing. And I used to go to the Spectrum all the time and took my kids. You have taken one of my kids has a picture with you when he was a baby. He works for Disney now. He helps make movies for Disney, and he's got it hanging up in his office, and it's the most talked about, discussed picture on his wall. You name the movie star. He's working with Meryl Streep a little bit now for the new Mary Poppins. He's worked with a lot of people, and that's the most talked about photo on his wall out there in Burbank, California at the studio. So, I mean, it's big. So now you were, let me get into your most memorable wrestling matches. And there's so many of them. We'd be here for 3 days, 4 days, maybe 2 weeks. Do you remember any one or any few specifically?
Well, there's one. If you just maybe narrow it down to one, but when you say a few specifically, I'm going to hit you with the 1-2-3 shot. The first one, of course, was WrestleMania 1, where we pulled all nonstops out. We had Mr. T, we had Billy Martin there, we had Mary Hart. I mean, we had everybody there, the Rockettes, Liberace, Cyndi Lauper. I mean, we had the whole gambit there for WrestleMania 1. Vince McMahon and Hulk Hogan bet the farm that this was going to make or break the wrestling business, and this was where we did the transition. This is where we shifted gears into an international phenom with the wrestling business instead of just a local scenario. So WrestleMania 1 was so important, and it put wrestling on the map. Then we go to WrestleMania 3, the largest indoor attendance, where I wrestled Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
And the one you were talking, well, actually the one before you were talking about, where there are 94,000 people there.
Right.
The Rolling Stones were there a week before. They did 88,000. Then we were there. We did 94. And then the week after we were there, the Pope did 80,000. So we had the record in that building. And that really cemented my career in Stone when Andre the Giant passed the torch to me, because nobody had ever beaten the Giant. And then fast forward to WrestleMania 18, where I came back to the WWE after working for Ted Turner for about 8 years. I came back. Everybody thought Hulk Hogan was washed up. He was too old. Maybe he was out of gas. Maybe he couldn't keep up. Maybe he couldn't pull it off. And I went out to the ring with The Rock and basically took The Rock to school at WrestleMania 18. And that match, from what a lot of the wrestling fans talk about, was the biggest WrestleMania moment ever, because the whole building was cheering for Hulk Hogan and the whole building was cheering for Rock off and on. And it was the craziest go against the grain cheer for the bad guy. Nobody expected it. You know, it was just something that changed the landscape of how the wrestling fans viewed the heroes and villains. So those three beats, WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 3, and WrestleMania 18, were the standouts.
You know, I'm going to tell you a moment, and I think I may have mentioned it to you. They asked me to be a ring announcer for a match at the Spectrum, and it was you against Million Dollar Man. All right, somebody actually screenshot. I remember this. Somebody screenshotted me on Twitter about a week ago. It was on Wrestling Classics. So that what I remember was beautiful. What I remember, okay, so I announced the match, and then at the end, I didn't know what to do. You know, ding, 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 the match is over, you won the match, I didn't know what to do. So I went back in the ring, and I was going to announce the winner, and you said to me, and it sticks in my mind, you said to me, "Brother, you better get the bleep out of here." And it wasn't a bleep, you know what it was, and obviously you guys weren't done yet, then the chair started flying. I'll never forget that moment. It was unbelievable. But it was just so much fun to be a part of that. I know you don't remember the match, but I do, because it was such a memorable moment for you. And then I realized as soon as you said that to me, I better get my ass out of there.
I do remember yelling at you in the Spectrum, because there's only been about 10 or 15 beats like that in my whole career, where a fan would come in the ring when he wasn't supposed to, or a ring announcer might be at the wrong place at the wrong time, or we were going to start a match before the announcements, and I had to tell everybody to get out of the ring. But I do remember you coming in and me going, get the hell out of the ring. You know, I remember me telling you that. And the funny part was, you know, the normal protocol, when the bell rings, the match should be over, but usually we have a whole nother agenda, so you just kind of get caught in the crossfire there.
I did get caught in the crossfire. All right. So, but here's another thing that happened, and still, what is a career that keeps on going on? The gift that keeps on giving, let's say. You became a bad guy. How did that all happen? You went from good guy to bad guy. How did that all happen?
Well, it's so crazy because, you know, this is the TV business, and, you know, between the wrestling and the workouts and, you know, the traveling around and all that stuff, I kind of like fell in love with the business also. And more than just the protocol of the normal the wrestler, I kind of like get interested in the production side and the TV side. And as the years went along, I got more involved. And at the end of the day, you know, we follow the quarter hours. We follow the minute by minute. You know, if somebody's in the ring and the numbers drop off, we do our research to try to find out why. And, you know, all this, what was I talking about?
Well, the fact that would you go from, but you become a bad guy, and everybody remembers you as a good guy.
As we're watching the quarter hours and the numbers, we started realizing that Hulk Hogan, when I went to work for Ted Turner with the red and yellow on, had one heck of a crazy run, and then the numbers started falling off, and I was in the ring. And, oh my gosh, you know, Hulk Hogan was at the top of the hour, and it was our lowest rated segment, or Hulk Hogan closed the show out, and the numbers were down. So as we were watching the quarter hours and as the numbers, we started realizing that, you know what, either this character is getting boring, or maybe there's been too many yellow t-shirts sold, or for whatever reason, it really wasn't working. Or maybe I didn't have the right opponents to wrestle, but we really couldn't get a handle on it. And it was the first time in about 15 or 20 years that I was kind of like drifting at sea, and I really didn't know what to do. And Eric Bischoff came up with this idea, you know, about Hulk Hogan being a bad guy and leading this new group of guys, these defectors from the big organization, the WWE. And that's how it came about. Bischoff approached me, and I first off told him no, and then I thought about it, and I thought about it. And then kind of like just out of, you know, this is either going to work or it's going to ruin my career, I just kind of flipped the coin, and I went for it, and it was the best move I made. Because the quarter hours and the numbers started going up instantly, you know, our ratings were like three times higher than any other wrestling show when we were with the WCW. And that's how it came about. It was just a suggestion from Eric Bischoff. And I just kind of rolled the dice because I either thought this is going to be great or it's going to totally destroy my career.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you really didn't like? You know, forget about what went on in the ring. Is there anybody that you really didn't like, any of the wrestlers that you really didn't like?
No. I mean, no. There's nobody that I dislike. I mean, I don't hate anybody. I know over the years I've had a couple wrestlers get in the news or tell people how much they dislike me or what a cancer I was, but I never had those feelings the other way towards any other wrestler. You know, never. I've never had a problem with anybody. Most of the guys that wrestle are really good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did an interview one time with Roddy Piper. May he rest in peace. And I did the interview, and I talked about wrestling being fake, and I didn't know he was going to do it. I knew. I said, hey, listen, I'm going to ask you a question, which you can do whatever you want. So we're sitting down. He grabbed the bottom of the chair. My son was there, who was about 10 years old at the time, didn't know what to do. He grabbed the bottom of the chair, flipped me to the floor. I ran it on TV that night, flipped me to the floor, grabbed my tie, and started strangling me with my tie. And he said, say I'm sorry, Mr. Piper. So, of course, I said, I'm sorry, Mr. Piper. But it was fun. I had no problem with it.
What year do you think that was?
That was in the 80s. That'd be in the 80s, in the mid, probably early to mid 80s, probably like 84-ish. Yeah. It was just to be around them and be around you guys and watch them. It was really fun, but I'm going to tell you something. It is, and then Andre the Giant beating him, and Gorilla Monsoon, obviously I knew him. He lived in the Philadelphia area, so I knew Gorilla. And just meeting a lot of you guys was back then was kind of fun for me, obviously. And talking to you is really an honor. Hey, listen, I've talked to a lot of people on the air. Muhammad Ali is one of them. And this is an honor as much as anybody to talk to the Hulkster running wild. And let me just tell people, Ric Flair, by the way, does an event with our radio station, WIP, in Philadelphia. It's called the Wing Bowl, where whoever eats the most wings, and he's kind of like the commissioner. He's the celebrity there, so he's done it the last couple of years. And I know you and Rick have become good friends. And you have an event, Legends of the Ring, on June 9th at the Hard Rock. It's actually, we call it Miami, but it's actually located in Hollywood. So you're doing an event there. You're doing other events throughout the year with Ric Flair and Legends of the Ring. And the Boys and Girls Club stuff is great. And I really do appreciate your support in my bike ride for the Eagles Autism Challenge. It's an honor. It's an honor to have you to be a part of it, Hulk. It really is.
Well, I'll tell you, you guys are doing a lot of great stuff for the kids. And I'm telling you, anything we can do or I can do, the wrestling community, to help you guys out, just let us know. But you guys are definitely on track with helping these kids, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I'll get you to make a donation, I'm sure of that. But whatever, we're going to go out with the music, so we can both be pumped up, proud to be an American.
You're getting me all jacked up for the workout.
Hulk, what's your most famous saying?
Oh, brother, come on. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Go for it.
Let me tell you something, brother. What you gonna do when a Hulkamania runs wild on you, Jack?
It's the best. You're the best. Hulk, it's a pleasure, and I'll see you soon. Thanks so much. And thanks for your support, and thanks for everything you do in the community as well. I appreciate it.
All right, my brother. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
And Hulk Hogan is a real American. He is, as he called himself, a cartoon character, or was a cartoon character, but obviously not everybody can do what he did in wrestling. But nobody has reached the level of Hulk Hogan. Hulkamania was and still is running wild with all the different events that he still does. And he's still involved, and he's involved in charities. And getting the award from the Boys and Girls Club of America is big. And he is genuinely, and I got to know him over the last few, well, actually knew him for who he was, but got to know him personally. In the last short time, and he is genuinely a good guy. So I'll ask you to. Hulk Hogan is supporting me in my bike ride, and I'm going to ask you to do the same things. Now, I'm not going to talk about other sports right now. We'll have plenty of time to talk about football, plenty of time to talk about baseball and basketball. So I'm just going to leave this standalone. In this week's version of the Howard Eskin podcast, it was and it will always be a great honor to talk to Hulk Hogan. And yes, we all should be real Americans. Thanks. You can sign up on iTunes to get the Howard Eskin podcast. And I appreciate you listening again. And thanks for your support. And thanks to Hulk Hogan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.